Okay, thank you very much indeed. Reconvene this meeting at 10:45. We have discussed this in quite some detail. We have taken due account of the letters of representation and the suggested conditions from the Environmental Health Office, and it is the decision of this panel that we grant the licence subject to that condition. We would like to introduce a couple of other conditions. Please, we are very mindful of the fact that this is predominantly a grassed area, and it does include some playing fields. So the additional conditions will read as follows. All beverages will be dispensed using polycarbonate glasses or other disposable drinkware or plastic bottles. No glass bottles or cans to be sold. And a condition, no glass bottles will be permitted in the licensed area except behind the bar. That will really mean that you will possibly have to check people entering to ensure that they're not bringing glass onto the site. I think this is important for public safety. The last thing we want is broken glass in the playing field. So I don't think it's too onerous, and it's quite a normal conditions for areas like this. So those are the conditions, and the licence is therefore granted accordingly. So, members, we now move on to the second application, which is in respect of Riverside. In advance of this, because we have people representing objectors, can we just go round the room?
Chairman,
Mr. Quilch.
Can you do that in relation to Tony Bush's representation, which you've already agreed to accept? I have here a text which says, "This is Tony Bush." I give my permission for, it says Rob Charlie Lingard, is that correct?
It's Richard.
Richard.
Okay. Predictive text, it's a...
Richard, we'll take it as Richard Lingard, to speak on my behalf at the licensing meeting in Malden, and it's signed Tony Bush. So, from a legal point of view, I think it's a civil standard, and that's probably enough. If you're happy, Chairman, then that means Mr. Lingard can represent his wishes.
Happy. We're more than happy with that. Thank you very much indeed. So if we could just go around the room doing the customary introduction so we all know who we are. And in respect, gentlemen, with the greatest respect, I would like you to state clearly whether you're representing yourself or whether you're representing others. We've already been through the rigmarole of establishing that you are entitled to speak on behalf of others, and the only thing I would say is that on that basis you will only be permitted to make representations that mirror the written submission and not to stray from those. If you do, you'll get stopped. The other thing is that we're only really here to listen to objections to the licensing objectives, of which I think you're probably clear about. So if we can commence with, can you start with you, Mr. Ellum?
Thank you, Chairman. I'm Jack Ellum, Tourism Events Manager for Malden District Council, representing the applicant, Malden District Council.
So, could you press the button?
Tony Pitt, representing Burnham Yacht Harbour Marina Limited.
Richard Lingard, representing Tony Bush, who's the manager of the Swallowtail Pub and Restaurant at Burnham Marina.
Sorry, yeah. It doesn't like it if there's too many lit.
Daniel Winter, I'm a licensing officer at Chelmsford City Council and Malden District Council. Thank you.
For Simon Quelch, a legal advisor here.
Thank you very much. I think we've covered ourselves for information. There are two other members present, Councillor Muddy Thompson and Councillor Chrissy Morris, although they take no part in this hearing. Okay, so I think we've been through the formalities. Councillor Spurber will correct me if I'm wrong. So the first thing is to hear from Mr. Ellum, the applicant, please.
Thank you, Chairman. This application is made by the Council to safely bring forward the Riverside Park as an occasional event space. It is to regularise also the events that already do and can take place, those that require licensing, put in place regulations and control, with hopefully the view to derive an income from the park, which is currently a significant cost to the district. Recent events have shown there's a desire within the local community for such events and that these can be done safely and well. The control remains within the council, and we feel the conditions agreed with environmental health and the controls that we will put in place will appropriately ensure the licensing objectives and protect the park, and point out there's no objections raised by any of the statutory bodies. We recognise there are concerns from some residents and businesses, but it should be understood that the prosperity of the tourism, leisure and events economy is critical to the prosperity of the district and can be beneficial to local businesses. And, of course, we welcome the opportunity to work with businesses to find additional ways to ensure mutual benefit. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Allen. And there are no witnesses to be called by your good self, so we can now move on to Mr. Pitt. As I said, I just want to reiterate, Mr. Pitt, that you are representing Burnham Yacht Harbour. Yeah. I'm just going to go to the relevant letter. Ours are redacted, so I'm just going to confirm that we are concerned with the same letter. I'm sorry about this, I have to scroll, we are electronic here. It is in the pack, but ours are redacted, so the names are blanked out, so I can't. So we have to find. I did see it earlier, so I'm just trying to.
Anybody know a page number?
I found it. Yeah, it's on page 49. Can we just confirm that the first line of the letter reads "As neighbours of Riverside Country Park"? Is that?
Yes,
it does. Okay. So, sir, as I've said, please, you can start, but please restrict yourself to the contents of the letter, as we have said before.
I'm General Manager of Burnham Yacht Harbour Marine Limited, and we strongly object to the blanket licensing and planning applications. You know, having all of these. Not having the temporary notice doesn't give anybody time to object or anything. It's just going to be in a fait accompli right through. We've worked hard over the past 30 years to ensure the marina is an open and friendly amenity, which is generally inclusive. As part of this, we operate within an open site rather than fencing various areas as in other marinas. Now, I'd like to bring up point the chairman made earlier, which was fences. There's absolutely no fences around that country park. There's no fence between our property, and that must be 750 metres of unfenced area, if not more. You were saying about a lost child. You know, that brings it into perspective there. They could just go anywhere and could end up in our site, which is a working boatyard. Other companies and organisations on site include the RNLI, Marine Police, Clark and Carter Yacht Brokerage, Malden Chandry, a working boatyard, as I said, and the Swallowtail Restaurant and Bar. All of these employ a substantial number of staff, pay substantial rates, wages, insurance, and in today's economic climate, would be concerned that they will be affected.
I would just comment that those are not licensing objectives, so, but I continue.
Well, it's I'm not a licensing officer. These are,
I'm just stating fact.
That's fine. We're also concerned about the insurances and wish to know whether the council will indemnify them. Now, this is a big point because if, you know, something happens on our site, our insurance may not pay out if it's caused by somebody else. We're also concerned that the requisite risk assessments need to be undertaken as well as the necessary health and safety procedures. Specific staff training is necessary in all our activities, and we would suggest that due to the casual nature of the activities, this will be very difficult to ensure. By contrast, events on the prom are fenced, because the whole prom is fenced. I calculate you've got about 9 ingress and egress points. Within a secure area, limited ingress, and has adequate parking on site, which is another issue. Blanket proposals may enable an easier life for the event organisation, but do not allow discussions on the individual merits of each event. Malden Council is not a professional event and hospitality organiser, it is a council providing a civic service, and believe me, the activities are completely different. When the last event was held on the country park, the council event organisers saw fit to put a road closed sign up on our entry road, directly affecting the business on site. Now, this was done because they didn't have enough people to police the cars and parking and everything on site, I presume. But, you know, that on a busy Sunday, ignoring the event, is stopping people coming down to our restaurant and bar, our marina, the chandlery, and the brokers on site. That's 4, let alone the RNLI and the police, which obviously would probably ignore it, but, you know, there. Finally, Burnham on Crouch is a small peninsula town with only one entry road via the railway bridge. This is the only emergency access to the country park and marina. Police, ambulance, etc. are all stationed 11 miles away. What contingency would there be if the road was blocked? Given the foregoing, in my view, a blanket approval would be highly negative for us, and we believe negative for the town. As said above, we strongly object to the proposal. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Before we hear from Mr. Allen, I think we'll hear the other representation, if possible.
Hello, my name is Richard Lingard, and I'm talking on behalf of Tony Bush, who is the manager of the Swallowtail Bar and Restaurant. One of the first objections I have is that all the businesses in Burnham, they employ a substantial number of well-paid staff and licensed premises. There are many taxes, rates and wage-paying licensed premises in Burnham, all competing for a finite number of people, and by having events on the park, this is going to affect them. The level of noise will also affect the nearby houses and the yachting residents in the marina. I would estimate that on the marina site, we pay rates to Morden District Council, and I know you say I shouldn't mention this, but actually you mentioned that you needed income from the park for the council, so
that is not one of the licensing objectives and we'll actually take into consideration, just to forewarn you.
Okay, but we pay over £200,000 in rates, and we don't want it to be affected by what's happening in the country park, which is next to us. The last event that took place, which was the food festival, which was about 2 weeks ago, resulted in over 2 hours' work for 2 members of our staff to clean up the rubbish, including 3 used nappies left in our car park. The main road into the site, as Tony had mentioned, had a road closed sign placed on it, and I'd say that's probably against the law. This affected our turnover, and importantly, access to the R&I facility. There were a few people who'd had too much to drink, and there was no one around to police the parking or manage potential trouble spots, and that does worry us. I can't see why we can't continue with a temporary event licence rather than have a blanket licence where we don't have any say in what's happening and it does affect our business. We have a meeting planned in September, October, with Morden Council to discuss the legalities of whether they can actually access the car park and use the car park. So I just wanted to put that out there to let you know that
not
that's still there.
Not relevant to what we're hearing today, I'm afraid.
Yeah. The other thing I would say is I don't. Morden Council is not a professional event or hospitality organisation. It's a council providing a civic service, and I would feel much more comfortable if temporary event licences continued for what's happening on that part, because it really does affect our business, and it has affected our business, as in 2 weeks ago when the food festival took place. Given the foregoing, in my view, a blanket approval would be highly negative for us, and we believe negative for the town. As said, we strongly object to the proposal.
Thank you very much. Before we let Mr. Ellum respond, I just want to address what I see as an anomaly in that a temporary event notice covers actually 1,499 people, correct?
Temporary event notice covers 499.
Right. Okay. And that is all you're applying for in this application. And it strikes me as being, because you've only, with the greatest respect, you've only paid £100 fee. And that £100 for that application is for 499 people. Yeah, it certainly does. Because I have bitter experience, Mr. Ellum, of putting in a lengthy application and not for it having enough people and then having to go back. So I did double check. And on your...
If you allow me, Chairman, I'll just look at my documents unless Mr. Winter's able to weigh in here. I understood we had applied for... 4,000 to 5,000.
I'm afraid you haven't, because you've paid £100 and that only gets you that number of people.
Although Mr. Winter's saying actually the non-rateable value band ad is £100. It doesn't take into consideration numbers. If it has a rateable value, depending on the size of the premises, then the price goes up. I don't think the £100 doesn't cover a temporary event notice. It's got nothing to do with it, Chair.
No, I know about the temporary event notice, but I'm talking about the premises licence, and I'm trying to find the right page.
If I could refer you to page 37 in the pack, the central section that says payment details. If the capacity at any one time is less than 5,000, fees are band A, non-rateable, £100. I believe that's what we've applied for.
Okay. Yeah, I did see 500 somewhere, but it is section 21 of 21.
37.
Yeah. Yeah, if the capacity at any one time is less than 5,000, the fees are band A, no rateable value, is £100. Fine. Okay.
Where do we see
that? That's on page 30.
Where do we see the 500?
I don't know. Excuse us, because I definitely have. I'm looking through. In excess of 5,000, but there's no. But I'm just looking through, because I may be having a senior moment when I read it, but I did read it fairly. Thank you, Mr. Morris, Councillor Morris.
Sorry.
I just want to nail this down. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm quite happy to. What's the trouble with these ridiculously long application forms?
Yeah.
And computers.
Okay.
thought it was 40.
Yeah, on the screen, I believe it.
Yeah, now, Chairman, if you go into page, if you go and you find it on here, because that reliable.
Is it on the application form, Mr. Quelch?
Yeah, page 5 on the application form. So if you go to the application form and then you count.
Well, the application forms have page numbers at the. Oh.
What does it start at the top of
them? It's page 12, I think. I think page 12 on the pack. Let me just check that.
Section 5 of 21, that helps. Thank you, Mr. Winter.
Page 14.
Yeah, that's right.
I've got page 14 in the
picture. Shortly after.
Oh, well, I'm looking at the wrong.
There's nothing in there. It just says if more than 5,000. So it's been left blank, which means that it can be up to 5,000. Yeah, it's page 15, isn't it?
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. 5,000 or more people are expected to attend the premises at any one time. State the number expected to attend. So you're saying, presumably, that there will be no more than 5,000.
Right.
Yeah. So you don't, in fact, therefore there's no requirement.
I'm quite happy with that. Yeah. It's obviously the. I've misinterpreted the fee structure. So. Mr. Ellum, you've heard the objections. It's your opportunity to comment on those points that have been made. Clearly, regrettably, some did not address the licensing objectives. I'll come to you in a minute, yeah. So, over to you, Mr. Ellum.
Thank you, Chairman. Forgive me if I don't address all of the points made. I did try and make a short note of each to try and address them in turn, but I welcome, of course, being reminded of any that I miss out. Starting with ones, and apologies again if it doesn't meet the licensing objections, but I thought it worth covering as it's been raised. Mm-hmm. It should be noted that effect on business, as we've seen in Prom and in Malden and in many other areas and case studies, is that prosperity through these sorts of events can be prosperity for all, and that's to my mind, the recent event was one of the greatest adverts that we've ever done for Burnham, for the river, for the marina that's next to it. I regret that we didn't have the opportunity, although we tried, to work with some of the neighbours to involve them in the event, but it should have been the best advert for that area as a place to live, work, play, enjoy, and would bring further prosperity. We've seen that with events that happen in the Malden area, that they derive greater income for places around the park and derive more income from visitors returning, which is about a £200 million income to the district as a whole, as a tourism income. On the matter of noise, like the point I made before about the event planning, each event would be required to identify how it would manage that noise, the timings, how sound systems would be set up, how they would be enclosed in marquees perhaps, and I think we demonstrated how that could be achieved with very little disturbance over that weekend, and certainly no significant complaints received from any of the residents that concerned the noise. On the matter of rubbish, I regret that if anything was left, we had about 8 volunteer stewards on site throughout who made a thorough litter pick of the sites during different times. We would simply maintain that we would include that as a requirement in the event planning for anyone else. I'm concerned that any litter was left that way. It was upwind of us, so predominantly we'd expect it to be going the other way. Nappies obviously wouldn't blow, but I think it would be reasonable for us to suggest that we would ask event planners to put in place controls around litter and litter picks so that they covered appropriate surrounding areas. The road closure, I apologise, that was actually done with the agreement or discussion with representation of the Swallowtail restaurant. Perhaps not a matter for licensing, but I'm happy to discuss that with you. Yeah, I'd happy to discuss that with you. On enforcement and policing and things like that, events are required to put adequate security in place. Indeed, that event did, and the requirements are based on best practice, again, from the POPA Guide of Events Management. The matter around continuing to use TENS actually would require less control than this licence is putting in place. And as we saw from that event, which didn't have this licence in place, any person, indeed it was actually me, with no licensing experience was able to submit two late notice TENS covering the entire event and actually required far less controls than this licence would put in place. So this is by far the better way to regularise the activities that are undertaken in that area. Very small note, we are professionals, and we are professionals in event management. I recognise that's not the entire function of the council, but we do have professional experience in this. I believe I've covered the points. I'm happy to have others raise to me.
Okay. Questions from Councillor Beale?
No, I think it's been answered by Mr. Stadium at the moment. Thank you.
Okay. I would comment, Mr. Adam is quite correct in that with a temporary event notice, the only people that have the ability to object to a temporary event notice are the police. So there is no... there is no ability for the public to object to, am I correct? Correct me if I'm wrong. Environmental services. So there is no opportunity for any other person to object to a temporary event notice. So Mr. Ellum is actually correct in that there is actually more control if there is an event safety management plan for each individual event, provided that that covers the various areas of concern. I will raise, and it is on the back of what the objectors have said, is that it is a fact that Riverside Park is more open. And again, I want to know how you're going to fulfil the licensing objective, lost child drug policy, etc., etc., when the park is open.
Yes, we recognise that the park presents different challenges to event organisers from Promenade Park. The answer is to some extent the same. It is down to the event management plan and the event organiser to put in place the appropriate plan and risk assessments of how that will be achieved. The fact of it being open, Prom Park is pretty... there are quite a number of entrances and exits, quite a number of hidden areas. But... it is a very open space, as is Riverside Park. In fact, the controls that could be put in place partly benefit from that, as it is almost on a peninsula, and so could enact quite stringent controls from major events where necessary. But it would be down to the event management plan of how that was going to be achieved.
Councillor Charney, do you have any questions or comments? Yes, of course you can, sir.
The litter, you know, fine. You're sending people around to clear up your site. There's no boundary. Well, there is a boundary, but there's no physical boundary from your site and our site. And therefore, it's our site that's getting the litter as people egress away from the property. And that, you know, the lappies weren't on your site. They were on our site. They were on our car park.
Again, if I might interject, it's not necessarily the point, the case that it won't be fenced in some way. And I think litter is a problem. It's a problem everywhere. It's a problem on our high street. Anybody that's seen the photographs of Brighton beaches and the other beaches after last weekend, the general public regrettably have no respect for anywhere. So... that is the sort of thing that is required a statement in the event safety management plan in respect of litter picking. There has to be a policy, and that policy is not the items in that, and that covers things like security. It requires all of the people on security duty to be SIA registered. It requires a statement about sanitation, toilets, litter, everything. It's an extremely detailed. I produce those. I know exactly what is entailed, and it's an extremely detailed, lengthy document that has to be followed. So, you know, any of these things that are a concern, and the concerns have been expressed, can be addressed by the policies in those plans. And, you know, there are consequences if those plans are not followed, which I have to say is not the case with a temporary event notice. The temporary event notice just grants somebody the ability to sell alcohol. There is no requirement to enter a plan on how you would deal with all of these other bits and pieces. In terms of road closures, I think, Mr. Ellum, that is something that needs to be looked at, and I think, you know, clearly that is something that has to be done in conjunction with Essex County Council and would have to be duly advertised. And I have to look to leave that one with you. Have you any other points you wish to make that aren't?
The difference between a temporary events licence and a blanket one is that you can have as many events as you like whenever you want with a blanket one. And people are coming into the Riverside Park. They're parking on our car park. When that car park gets full, they park on our grounds. They use our facilities, the toilets that the marina have. That's used. I mean, we saw that in the last event. They don't go and use the temporary toilets that you've got in your facility. They come down and use the marina facilities, and they wander all over the place, where we have people who have paid money to moor their boats there, that are using our facilities, and they're actually using it. And that's what we're probably more concerned with than anything else. And I don't know how that's going to be policed, because not having fences between the borders.
Again, that would be done pertinent to each individual event via the management plan. And the most significant part of event safety management plans is the traffic management plan, which would cover the access, exit, car parking, etc., etc. So, you know, again, that should address that point. As we've said, that the on submission of the event safety management plan to the responsible authorities, and there are far more responsible authorities for that than there are for a temporary event notice, a safety advisory group, or SAG can be called, where all of those responsible responsible authorities have the ability to ask exactly these questions, and that they can prevent an event going ahead if they are not satisfied with them. I might also say that this is only for 20 events per year, and that's the same for the Promenade Park. So it's not a blanket, it's only for 20 events per year.
After
8 p.m., yeah.
That's what I was going to say, it's not 20 events, it's 20 in the evening.
Granted. Granted. Okay. So,
the other thing, I'm just been astounded by the fact you're saying, yeah, I'm going to be flippant, but you're saying we could have 5,000 drunks on the country park. You know, the numbers just astound me if that's what the licence is going to reflect. Surely the licence should be 500 or whatever, and not that sort of numbers of people.
That as we've established, due to my misinterpretation, yes, it is 5,000 people. I think it's an exaggeration to say 5,000 drunks, because it is the legal responsibility of the licensee to ensure that they do not allow intoxicated people onto the site. That is a license condition, that intoxicated people are not served alcohol on the site, that there is security measures in place for how to deal with that. I, in my other life, run events for three times that number of people, and where alcohol is served, and, you know, it is not a problem if the alcohol vendors follow their procedure. They are obliged to adopt Challenge 25 policies, and there are posters accordingly. There are no underage staff. There is very thorough underage checking, and there are policies for dealing with people who are either intoxicated or under the influence of drugs. This is extremely well covered by the premises licence conditions.
What would happen to those people? They'd be ejected from the site.
they would be ejected from the site, and if it was serious enough, obviously the police would... Look, this would be dealt with in the event safety management plan. You know, as you're aware, we do have uniformed community protection officers, and I'm sure they would be involved. We can't prejudge that there is a myriad of different types of events, be it fun fairs, music events, cinema, food fairs, all have a different aspect to them. So that is why we have the event safety management plan detailed document to deal with the circumstances pertinent to that individual event. So are there any more?
Could I ask a question,
yes,
please?
Of course I can.
Mr. Elam, the licence is up to 20 events, is that right?
The conditions agreed with Environmental Health are up to 20 events beyond 8 p.m.
Yeah, so it does mean that it might not necessarily mean that you will be putting on that number of events, but you've got the permission to do so, and then it will be in negotiation with colleagues down the bottom there and other persons, etc., when it goes on.
My feeling actually is the major limiting factor on the number of events is essentially going to be more like commercial demand. They simply wouldn't be viable events to run that many under that population. So that would limit it significantly anyway. It's simply not reasonable to say that it would happen all the time, every day. It simply wouldn't be the case. But yes, potentially a sensible condition the committee may want to consider is to limit the number of events in total. That might be more sensible. I would ask that carefully consider any conditions around fencing, because that has significant risks of its own, of how that's done. And I would suggest that the event management plan, as the chairman has pointed out, is the document that regularises all those things outside of the licensing, but also about how the licensing objectives will be met.
If you're offering for the subcommittee to put in a licensing condition limiting the number of events in total, in other words, during the whole day, what number are you offering up?
Bear in mind, Mr. Ellen, this is only relating to licensable activities, so which is sale of alcohol, obviously, provision of live recorded music, cinema, film, wrestling, boxing, and all the other bits and pieces that you've put in. I think you've applied for everything except adult entertainment, and I haven't come across one that has yet. So it only deals with those licensable activities. So if it's an event that hasn't got a licensable activity, and I'm struggling to think of an example, it's obviously not included. But
I mean, you can withdraw that. I mean, you offered that up as a possibility. What's in your mind?
You can withdraw that offer if you're finding it difficult to be scientific about.
I withdraw that offer.
All right, thank you, Mr. Ellum. I'll be very lenient, sir, and let you, because we've...
Well, it's a question, really.
Do you want to press a button?
What is the minimum length of time you can have this licence for? Is it 12 months, or could you set this licence for, say, 1 month, and then look at it? You're saying a temporary cease is not the way to go because it's not so
controllable.
Yeah. Can we have a way of having short?
I'm going to revert to the licensing officer, but I think these things are fixed term periods, aren't they?
Off the top of my head, you can limit it for 1 year, or you can limit it for 4 months and then review it if you so wish. There's no restrictions really.
And that, Chairman,
links licensing objectives. If you wanted to see how things work, because you have some concerns, say, for example, about public nuisance, because I think some of the representations have perhaps arguably linked trespass onto land, things like that, rubbish. If you felt that there was an issue, if the committee felt there was an issue there and they wanted to see how things were working, then that would, any limitation would link in to, it would be a condition linked to that licensing objective.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that.
With that, you've got the end of September would be the Burnham Week thing. So would it not be to do this for the 3 months that just encompasses
that? I hate to say it's not for you to put a proposal to me to the panel, but I did hear you. But I would say I'm mindful of the that we're already into August, so we just need to discuss that a bit further. And unless there are any other questions, no. We will adjourn at 11:26. Sorry, Chairman.
Sorry, Mr. Quell. To be a little bit difficult here. Because that an issue that Mr. Ellen has had the chance of actually going back on that point about time limitation, I don't know whether he has any representation, because that is a new possibility that's been put forward by
him. I'm quite happy to hear Mr. Ellen's comments.
Thank you, Chairman. I would suggest that having a time limit makes sense, but obviously you need a number of occurrences of the use of the licence to demonstrate anything from that time period. There is only 3 or 4 events that I think of that would likely do that, and therefore if we did set it till the end of September, we would have only one example to draw any learning from. I would suggest a sensible thing would be more around the 2 years to 5 years mark to gain anything from limiting it. I would also suggest that if there were issues arrived from this licence, there are routes for Environmental Services, I believe, to make representations against the licence, if that's the appropriate phrasing, to call in a review, and that would be the more appropriate way to do it, I would understand.
So are you objecting, therefore, to time limited, bearing in mind that point? You said 2 to 5 years, but then you said there are other routes. So are you actually, what's your point? Agreeing to a time condition, or are you objecting to
it? I don't see the value of it. I would object to the need for that. There is a review process as part of the licence.
I am mindful that in actual fact there is a review opportunity at every event, because any concerned responsible authority can object at the time of a SAG or a...
Can interested parties object?
Yes. Yes. On licensing objectives. Okay, so we're going back. Are you happy, Mr. Quelch, for that? So we'll now re-adjourn at 11:29.